This week on RSVNB Update, the 2018 winter weekends are revealed, and we go over patch notes in particular related to the player-owned farm. We also discover that banana pizza is indeed a thing. Finally, Brad and Earth join us to celebrate number 700. This is RSVNB Update, episode 700, recorded Thursday, November 29th, 2018. Attack of the Swedish Bear. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSVNB Update, episode 700. Right now, right here, right now, this week. And this week, joining us for episode 700, Tanis, as per usual. You weren't here last week because of Thanksgiving. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And also joining us, we have two guests of honor this week. We have Brad, a.k.a. Chief Snake, who hosted the podcast in, I think it was 2011, I think? Something like that? Yeah. Lots of current listeners probably haven't heard you, but welcome back. And just to prove a point and to, well, not
still
just
hung up on 2011. That's scary. All right.
Just wait. Not, just to prove a point and not to prove that we didn't do anything to him after the Tanis and Earth episode. While I was away, Earth is back this week. Welcome back.
Yep. This is your proof of life, folks. Please keep asking for it. Otherwise, I may disappear.
No, but Earth did a tremendous job hosting the podcast while I was gone with Tanis.
Did I?
You did. You did. You made sure that it got out and you made sure that it happened, even though you had a couple of bumps along the road.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you messaged me frantically asking how to do a couple of the production steps and whatnot. And
that's your fault for not telling me.
Anyways, Tanis, how was your experience with Earth
on
that episode?
Oh, it's cool, man. I mean, I knew we'd have fun, so, you know.
And we're gonna have fun this week too.
Oh man!
Just hopefully not as much fun as last week. I know last week's one you spent like an hour and a half talking about a quest.
Yeah, that was fun.
I know. And did you notice Shane actually let a girl in the clubhouse?
What? Which is good. Shane is changing. I appreciate that Shane's conservatism.
Hold
is
up! What?
Quietly whittled away.
Yeah. What happened? What'd you do?
Everyone is welcome here at RSVNB Update.
What'd you do? What happened? What'd I miss?
We had Diana on from Clan Quest to discuss the biggest quest that RS has ever released, the Needle Skips.
I don't know about biggest quest, by the way.
Biggest?
I mean, I don't want to relitigate.
Tell me,
but.
It was immersive. It was the most immersive quest ever. And Tanis, have you had a chance to play
immersive?
It?
Immersive? Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. As someone who has modded Skyrim several times, I'm going to need you to justify the use of the word immersive, Dane, because that is like the buzzword.
Immersive relative
Everything
for RuneScape.
Is immersive.
Yeah.
Tanis, did you have a chance to play through it yet?
A little.
Okay.
I haven't finished it yet. Right.
How about you, Reed?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And I assume, Brad, you read up on the literature about it because you did notice it.
I listened to half of last week's podcast.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Over about 4 days.
Yeah. It was long. It was long. Perhaps a little bit longer than it should have been. But, I mean, it was Quest Week, and we tend to kind of go all out for those here. But
I mean, I thought it was great. I felt like I didn't even have to play it after I've listened to the podcast.
So it's
kind of cool.
All right.
Because I didn't have time.
I think if I understood correctly, I could have finished that quest before I finished listening to last week's podcast.
Jesus Christ, Shane. How long was the episode?
2 hours, 55 minutes. But it was Syria and myself and Diana.
Christ.
Yeah.
2 hours, 55? Was it really?
Yep.
What's the record?
Over 3 hours for one of our RuneFest specials.
Okay, well, that one doesn't count.
But anyways, you guys are probably wondering about this week's update. Well, this week's update is Patch Week, and the
Nice transition.
And the announcement of the winter weekends for December of 2018, including the return of the Festive Aura, which will give you 50% extra XP for half an hour up to 50,000 XP max. You get started with that on Saturday, December 1st.
Ooh, you spoil us, Jagex.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's not that much in the modern game era, right?
Nope.
That's going to disappear in minutes.
No. I mean, how long do you spend on the game every day, though?
Yeah, I guess that's true. If you're spending an hour a day and whatnot, then that's going to be fine. And, you know, that's probably what my average play sessions are, too, and whatnot. So,
Tell me what these hour sessions are like.
I don't know. Play our own farm, farming run, and maybe a little bit of divination gathering after that. Okay, maybe an hour and a half.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, right. You've been.
Man, you sound like an addict, justified.
You've been enthralled in Skill of the Month, haven't you?
Yeah, I just look at a stove all the time. That's all I do.
Only 5 more minutes.
Well, day and a half for you, Tanis.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have this one in the bag, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. We'll talk more about Skill of the Month after, but when it comes to winter weekends, the usual 25 voyages per day instead of 15 for ports, all ports, voyages, and whatnot give you 30% extra resources and trade goods, and the ability to get the barmaid special voyage on Saturdays and Sundays as well as Thursdays. And that's through the entirety of the month up until January 7th. Then this weekend is Elite Dungeons and Dungeoneering. And they brought in Elite Dungeons with this because obviously we didn't have those this year. And I think everybody wants to have another look back at Elite Dungeons because they've made them a whole lot easier now to the point where they can actually be soloed by people of mid to high level combat. So you're going to get double Dungeoneering tokens from both Dungeoneering and Elite Dungeons. And inside the Elite Dungeons themselves, you're going to get a doubled drop rate for lore books, 25% increased Slayer XP from the NPCs in the dungeon, one extra tier 92 material whenever you were to hit a material on the drop table, and one free death per run. Works in both story mode and normal runs. So there's also no death penalty in regular Dungeoneering itself. And this will be good for people who haven't done either of the Elite Dungeons yet. So
are you done with your Dungeoneering, Shane?
I got 99, and that's yet? I got 99, and that's good.
Oh man, these are the weekends though, that you get grab a couple buddies and go do Dungeoneering.
No.
Yeah, because you just run around with Wrath. Deaths don't count. You just blow everything up. It's great. It's great fun.
I don't want.
Is that what you said that you and some of your friends just got plastered and did? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember you saying that.
That's good times.
Well, what does it say about Dungeoneering if you need to do that?
It says it's a minigame that's funner with friends and alcohol.
He's got a point.
And this was Andrew Gower's last big update that he worked on before he left the company.
Yeah.
So. But anyways, I don't know. I don't plan on doing any Dungeoneering this weekend. Next weekend, the 7th through the 10th, is deep sea fishing and fishing. Fishing spots don't move around as much as they used to. Deep sea fishing will be available to everyone regardless of level.
Whoa.
That's pretty big, cool. Given the amount of XP that you can rope in there. Encounters are more common, which is good, I guess, if you're looking for the traveling merchant and other little doodads in there. Bottled boosts will last twice as long. Uncharted maps, fishing notes, and the bottle boosts will be found more frequently. XP bonus cap increased to 30%, and bonus builds up 10% quicker from Fishing Frenzy. Oh, and there's going to be no electrified jellyfish, too. So that's good.
Okay.
And the swarm will act as if you're 5 levels higher than you actually are. And custom fish bait is 50% more effective. And for those of you guys here, and specifically Brad, who hasn't experienced this update, swarm fishing is like fishing.
Is this like the trawler?
No, the trawler is, I hate to say it, I think dead content at this point.
Dead.
No!
Swarm fishing is like the ZMI altar, except for fishing.
Oh, back in my day.
Me too,
we had
buddy.
A trawler and nobody used it.
Well, actually, it's
except
not completely
for the
dead.
Awesome RSBND events.
Yeah, you still need it for comp. So you still need it for the...
it actually
diaries.
Does still exist?
Yeah, it still exists.
Oh,
for some reason,
I assumed they'd got rid of it.
Oh, no.
I mean, that does sound like fairly classic Jagex.
they forgot to update it and it was broken, so they were like, oh.
They're removing mobilizing armies soon.
Allegedly.
True. And bounty hunter.
Really? Didn't they just introduce mobilizing armies? I mean, probably not. I'm thinking like...
No, they just introduced bounty hunter again. Taking that out.
It's all a cycle.
You know, I would give anything to be back in the old days of, 2011, 2012, when there was just one RuneScape community to talk about.
It still feels so recent to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and...
The good old days.
Anyways, I was going to say something, but if I say that, we'll be here for forever.
Yeah, let's carry on. We're not even finished
please.
The list yet, are
we? No.
December 14th.
The more things combat...
Say the quote.
And Slayer.
December 14th through 17th is Combat and Slayer. Extra charm drop, increased chance of rare drops and lucky items. 25% increased Slayer XP. All Slayer assignments are being treated as if you're using a VIP ticket, which I don't do Slayer enough. So, Tennis, what does that actually do, the VIP tickets?
Well, it's something you kind of want to have so that you'll get a choice of two monsters, and that way if you can like see and you'll get two choices, so that if you have to skip it, just go ahead and grab the default option, and then you can cancel that and you don't actually use the ticket until you get the kind you want.
See, the only Slayer I've done recently has been self-assigning Abyssal Demons or Dark Beasts, so I have all these Slayer tickets just sitting and I've never used them, so... 10% cheaper instance fees, ability to loot Mazcab raids once a day rather than the every 2 day limit that's there. You can choose your own boss assignment, Slayer, and increased Ushtabi catch chances for the Slayer complex
as well.
Yeah, that'll be good. And then the 21st through the 24th, we'll be gathering and support weekend, which is for divination, thieving, hunter, and agility, which includes 10% chance to not deplete Uncharted Isles resources while harvesting. Mining rocks and trees will replenish twice as quickly. For divination, knowledge fragments spawn more frequently, and training hotspots move less frequently in the Hall of Memories. Thieving, increased loot chance and chance of totems while safe cracking. Hunter, chance of getting plus one loot, and agility, higher chance of activating the pit minigame. So there's that. And then the final one is for, or not the final one, there's one more. It goes into January. December 28th through 31st is a minigame weekend, extra castle war tickets, double accommodation points from pest control for anyone.
People still play Castle Wars?
They have to.
Well, people, what do they call it?
Thaler.
It's another one of those pretty old ones now.
Yeah,
they boost Castle Wars.
Yeah, they have to do it for their completionist cape and trim completionist
cape.
But there are, in general, mini games. People go to the one that is on mini game spotlight because they have unified everything into one mini game store.
Mm.
So. And that's why pest control is on here. Also, double bonus XP and gambling rewards from Barbarian Assault. Bosses killed in Dominion Tower are counted twice for the purposes of reward unlocks. And plus 50% Dominion Factor.
That's pretty good.
That's good for the diaries, right?
Yeah, I have to do that still for that task set.
Me too.
Oh, and here's the next one. 50% Fraudis points at Livid Farm. I have to do that too.
Oh yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Extra.
Now instead of literally what, like 24 hours, you have to sit there. It's only like 12, or is it 48 now?
They halved it a while back.
Mm-hmm. It's still ridiculous.
Yeah, I
like
know.
how long a while back?
I think that was last year.
Yeah, maybe a year ago.
Mm.
So
see, because I never did it because all of the stuff was really neat, but also I'm not going to spend that much time.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that. And you know what I've been doing? I've just been going to the Deep Sea Fishing Traveling Merchant whenever he has a livid plant. I do that and I get my livid points that way.
Oh, man. I need to do that.
How many?
It's between 20 and 40K per shot.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That's a significant amount, if I remember
correctly.
Yeah,
it is. The first ability is 100K.
Mm.
Let me just figure out when that'll be back in stock in the Traveling Merchant Shop. And you know, people have actually got this down to a science in terms of being able to predict the future stock of when this is happening with this. So if we look this up and we see the next livid plant will appear on December 22nd.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
And then December 31st.
All right.
So those are the days you want to go to the Traveling Merchant to pick that up. All right, continuing on, we have on the 4th through the 7th a player-owned farm and farming weekend where you'll get improved chances of breeding and shinies at the player-owned farm, as well as increased happiness
shinies.
And health. Yeah, yeah, shiny animals like the royal dragon.
Is that what they call it? Shinies.
Yep.
Hmm.
Like shiny Pokemon.
Yeah, I know.
Also, increased yield from harvested animals, more beans from selling animals, and an increased drop rate of animals from combat. Wouldn't that be good for us a couple months ago, Tanis?
Yeah, yes, it would have been. Mm-hmm.
And, since when are animals part of farming? What have I missed? Why haven't you told me about this?
Yeah, they brought them in September.
Yeah, September, the player-owned farm.
Oh my God.
I could have sworn I told you about this.
Not the animals part.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, you basically raise these animals and you can get, I'm getting on average, I think anywhere between probably 80 to 200K farming XP a day from doing this.
Wow.
Yep.
Just from animals?
Just from
about?
Animals.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
let's talk after this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, 10% increased yield allotment from herb and allotment patches, as well as 25% increased yield from compost bins.
Maybe, there you go, Shane. Break your record
yeah,
now.
Yeah, maybe I can hit 140 sure. with that.
Oh.
Current record for herbs harvested is 133. So that should be interesting to try and go for that weekend. That's going to be a fun weekend for that one. But that's what we got for winter weekends this year. I think there's something for everyone. I don't think there's anything overtly negative about these, any of these, and there's no, you know, double XP weekend thrown in or, you know, what was it, 1.5 times XP weekend they did 1 year, so.
Well, and I noticed, too, out of the last two winter weekends, there was always a artisan's shop. That one is not there this time.
Yeah, and I think that's because they're going to be effectively changing that when the mining and smithing beta comes out in January, or rework comes out in January.
Yeah, well, they know how RuneScape players are. They're not real big for change, so everyone would have been rushing to finish smithing. Like, no!
I think it's actually going to be better after the rework.
Oh, I do too, but I know people, or I know players. So...
All right. We also got the advent calendar running from December 1st until Christmas Day. You have until January 7th to claim everything. You can log in just after the fact and pick that up. And yes, I'm talking to both Earth and Brad here about that.
There's usually some decent XP on there.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Yeah, and I think some good cosmetics and whatnot too sometimes. So it'd be interesting to see what they have for us this year. But
are they available for non-members?
It's a good question.
Damn.
The questions here. That's hard-hitting journalism right now. I'm not sure.
Well, and also that it should be worth noting for you that the player-owned farm is a members update.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
But... Yeah, okay. All right. That's a good question. Is it free to play?
Excuse me.
I mean, if they're just like prismatic stars and relics and things, I assume they'll be fine.
Yeah, and then I don't know. Like, we'll have to wait and see on that. Never been a question to think of. So, all right. In that case,
I presume the majority of listeners with this podcast probably care enough that they're members, right?
Yeah, and you know, there's also mobile coming at some point too. So I imagine we'll be getting when that arrives next year, a whole new influx of people. So. Moving on to the patch notes here this week, not too much that's overly hard-hitting with this. The Calgarian demons underneath Daemonheim can now be damaged while they're charging their special move. I don't fight these, but I remember this being a real pain in the butt to deal with, so that's good. That was done. Now, here's one from EOC, going back all the way to the launch of EOC in 2012. The tsunami ability now casts in the direction of your target rather than the direction you are facing.
I remember being pissed about that in the beta for EOC when we went and tried that out.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny part about this is that, yes, this is good for us who are, you know, the casuals when it comes to combat, but this just makes magic all the more powerful at the top end, which is what everyone on the top end uses. So.
Yeah, it kind of made it work right, though. I mean, because if it's going the wrong way, then it wasn't right.
You're wasting an ultimate.
Oh, so does this actually affects the... how it performs, the performance of the spell?
Because you don't need to spend the time trying to rotate your character in one of the different directions. So if you have this thing behind you, this group of mobs behind you, you just click this and it'll fire off the wave behind you rather than you needing to circly thing to move your character around, right?
Yeah, so, no, when I read this, I just assumed it was a cosmetic change.
No.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, sure.
It would always be in front of you. It's no longer possible to restore negative prayer points using spirit prayer pigs.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what a spirit prayer pig is.
What is restore negative prayer points? I don't understand.
So it basically suck your prayer points away.
Oh, because one of the versions of the pet pig you got from that quest, bringing home the bacon,
the
prayer pig. I think one restores prayer and then one's combat. And, yep.
Okay, that makes sense then.
But what is a negative prayer point? That's what I'm confused
about. Well, rather than restoring the prayer point, it would take it away. So it would give you a negative prayer point.
As in, drop your prayer points.
Yeah. Okay.
Rick you.
But they're calling it a negative prayer point.
I don't think it's phrased very well.
Yeah, some of these aren't. Remove blocking on some paths, which prevent Araxor from being able to move between phase 2 and 3 while on path 3. I've never killed Araxor, Tanis. I don't know of you.
No, dude.
Okay.
It was not pretty when I tried it.
You know who actually took me through this and almost got me to the end of this, of Araxor? I didn't get the kill, but I almost got to the end. You know who gave me the tutorial on this? No, Colton. Believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah.
Cool.
Hidey holes can now be filled while you're still wearing the objects to store them, so you don't need to take them off.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Totally. And I don't know about you guys, but I have my ability to do hard clue scrolls got a lot easier when they brought these hidey holes in, because it wasn't always a battle of going into your bank. You just went to the place and away you go, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Arcane Elysian.
Hashtag easy skip.
Yeah, just wait till we get to the end. Arcane Elysian and Divine Spirit Shields now list their passive effect on the object tooltip. I don't know who uses these shields anymore, but that's
no one.
Fine.
I did wonder, yeah.
The Pack Yak summon timer has been increased from 58 to 64 minutes to better account for instance length handling.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. Because 58 minutes is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
When the instance is 60.
Aquarium building materials obtained from prawn balls, well, may now be disassembled.
Ooh, Shane, aquarium update, or aquarium patch.
F*** the aquarium.
Can someone please tell me what prawn balls are?
I think they're a delicacy somewhere.
But they're really little.
You pay many, many money little food.
So it takes a lot of them to fill you up.
Basically what a prawn ball is a little thing that you get while you're fishing, and it has little items in it that you can put in your aquarium. Or,
right.
Or you can get fish eggs from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume it would take a long time to build up enough materials from prawn balls to build something with.
Oh, but you forget the magic of hand waving that fact away, Brad.
Oh, the aquarium. One of the best parts of Room Labs.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
I'm kidding.
Excuse me.
I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding.
Only surpassed by waterfall fishing.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, moving on. You can now chat to Granny, or access via a new right-click option, about which contract buyers should turn up. Timing restrictions will still apply, in that you'd have to wait until the next day for them to turn up. Doing this will overwrite the standard game mechanic, but that can be turned back on by chatting to Granny at any time. And small, medium, and large buyers can now individually be set. And this is referring
to many questions about this.
Okay, this is referring to the player-owned farm.
What?
Yeah, I'm never talking to that dirty old woman again after that introduction.
So basically what happens with this is on the farm, a series of buyers appear up each and every day, and they were governed by what you had in your pens, but people wanted something else. So now we get this option to force what appears for the buyers. Because if you have, for example, dragons in one large pen but cows in another large pen, it could be random whether it's cows or the dragon buyer that turns up. So now you can say, hey, I want the dragon buyer to appear up for my large pen. Or if you have zygomites and sheep in your medium pen, you can say that you only want the sheep buyer to turn up, so on and so forth. So that's how this works. Is that
okay?
Does that answer questions?
No.
Okay.
I have a question about the next one too.
Okay.
And the one after that.
All right. Added banana pizza to the cooking skill guide.
What the f is that?
Is that a thing? Do people eat banana on pizza?
Rick does.
What?
Rick
Seriously?
Is not
a monster.
Real.
Someone needs to check the backyard for bodies, because that's just wrong. I don't trust anyone that puts bananas on pizza.
And Jagex says that they still don't know why banana pizzas were added to the game. They can say thank you to Mod Shogun, though.
Hold up, that guy just added it, like, on his own?
Apparently.
I love the idea that some rogue developer just went in and...
like, I hate what he's done, but I love that, like...
Oh, my spirit.
Let's see, banana pizza.
Gross.
This was added November 5th, 2018.
Does it reduce your health when you eat it?
No.
No, just your sex appeal, I guess.
1,800 life points is healed per pizza. The best pizza available currently. Apparently.
Wow.
Says.
That's what the J-Mod say.
Apparently, Mod Shogun here.
It contains... Man. Here, you guys ready for the ingredients of this pizza?
Are there bananas?
There's cooked chicken, nuts, curry leaves,
oh,
and
wow.
sliced
what?
Banana.
Holy
Man,
shit.
I knew the food was bad in England, but I had no idea it was bad.
No wonder their teeth look like that.
Oh, shit.
Jesus.
I guess that explains why their dessert's called Spotted Dick.
What?
Something Brexit.
Yeah. That's a thing. That's like a... It's a dessert.
Wow.
Yeah, don't Google it, because... that ain't good. But trust me.
This was apparently a Game Jam 2018 project created in April of 2018.
But that means someone had the idea of Banana Pizza, and they probably should be watched.
Apparently it's based off of toppings that are popularly used in Swedish and Icelandic pizzas.
Oh, well, that explains it. Those guys eat fermented fish, so, I mean, you can't go by what they eat. I'm just alienated the whole Nordic region, the whole country.
Just nuke it all.
I think Tycho is listening to this show.
Right, well, Tycho, better bunker down, buddy.
So did anyone know how to make a banana pizza prior to them adding it to the skill guide?
No. Probably not.
But it was possible?
Yeah, I think so.
Not that anyone would have put nuts, like, though. Like, done it. Nuts?
I could understand that. Like, cashew nuts or something. I mean, I don't know what nuts they're requiring, but...
I don't know. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. This is so weird.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. 900 per bite. You only get 89 cooking XP for them.
Give us a basis for comparison here,
Shannis.
Right on. Well, a rocktail is 309 XP.
I love that the nuts that are involved in making this pizza, the description is that nuts are sold in pet shops and are used to feed squirrels.
I mean, they are.
Huh. That's... Well,
unless it's a monkey nut.
I was just surprised that there was no more specific nut that they're using for this pizza.
Also, don't forget the chicken.
Oh yeah, and the chicken. Where's the chicken come from? Like,
see, that's the part that's so weird. Most. Brad, shut the f- up.
Anyways, moving on from the patch notes. Yeah, that's certainly an interesting one, isn't it? Then. You can now visit another player's Uncharted Isle, and with this update, you'll also be able to toggle restrictions about who can visit your island. And you talk to Quartermaster Gully to travel to someone else's island, and with this, you can also set island options to allow everyone to visit your island, friends only, or no one. And they make the caveat that when you visit someone's island, you won't be able to use the skilling resources there nor pick up the island customations. However, you will be able to catch any birds or implings that are there.
Yeah, this is kind of dumb. I mean, I don't understand why.
It's like you can go there, but you can't use it.
You can't do anything. Yeah, you can't do anything. So I'm wondering, do you think it's a dry run for, wait for it, Shattered Worlds? Because remember originally they talked about being able to do that with a buddy, but it's procedural, so they didn't know how to do it. But Uncharted Isles is procedural too, so...
You know, you could be very right on that, because this is just a very simple test out there for this. So
right,
but
just a thought. That's when I saw the patch.
But I mean, another reason I think the main reason it's here is so that people can catch the implings and birds, because that's one of the biggest parts of completing the arc.
Yeah, it is a pain if you're looking for a certain one.
Yeah. So, I think that's going to be the win on that one. Brad, you said add a question on there? On this one?
You deleted my comment.
Yeah, I'm deleting them as we move through the notes here.
Well, that was my...
You didn't delete mine.
Okay, we'll get there
soon. I think you just have it out for Brad.
No. Anyways.
I'm still just stuck on the banana pizza thing. What the
I don't know.
My question was around visiting another player's Uncharted Isle. That sounded like a euphemism to me. I wasn't sure whether this was a real thing or not.
No, oh, yeah, it's completely real.
All right.
And finally,
yep.
Adjusted the value of shiny boosting traits to sparkling +1%, glistening +1.5%, and radiant +2.5%, which is an overall increase if you stack all three on the same animal. And this is how you get shinies when you're breeding. So,
Good.
But that's it for the patch notes this week. I think the banana pizza kind of stands out there, and that's
yeah.
All right. Now we're going to move on to questions very soon, but before we do that, there's something to talk about with the mining and smithing beta here. They updated the trimmed masterwork armor this week in the beta. They made it a lot easier and cheaper to make. They took the amount of bars required for each piece down from 1,200 to 600. So cut it down by half. Also, Masterwork and Trib Masterwork Armor have had the time taken to make them rebalanced a bit, but the total time, they say, should be about the same as it was before. And they've also added a set effect to the Trimmed Masterwork Armor, that is the Tier 92 Melee Power Armor, to be, which will take 50% of damage received into a damage over time that you take over the next 6 seconds to spread the damage out and make it easier to deal with it. And they updated the beta so people can test this as it is. And I actually had a look at this, and it makes doing Slayer tasks and whatnot a lot simpler because, you know, you don't need to worry about healing large, because what's effectively going to happen with this is that the amount that you need to heal is going to be taken down to much more manageable amounts. And I don't know why anyone would do this, because the armor is so expensive, because it requires the tier 80 armor that you get from the God Wars dungeon, but it makes Slayer really easy. I don't know if there's anywhere at the top end where people would use this melee power armor, but I think this is a nice effect, especially for tanks. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, we're going to have to wait and see what the uptake is on this, if people will ultimately go for it, but I think it's an interesting effect, given what we had before. I chatted with David about this for a bit today, and he's our PVM expert, and basically what he said is that, you know, everyone uses magic, of course, but melee is useful for the tank in the group, so the tank will likely use this tier 92 power armor and whatnot and make it easier for the tank to absorb damage when they're doing any group boss. So that's going to be the application for this going forward, because, you know, while I tested it on Slayer, it's just going to be too expensive to use this armor for Slayer. So that's what we got with that. Let's see, what was the other change here with this? They also have the option now to customize the trimmed masterwork armor, which makes it permanently untradeable in return for 50% slower degrading and no degrading or charge loss while on a Slayer or Reaper task. So
That's cool.
That's neat.
Yeah. So this is a good way of using the armor, I guess, but it's still expensive to make. I don't know if people will when you can get tier 85 Ports armor or tier 85 Elder Rune.
And does that have better stats? The ports and
no, it's
the second one, Elder.
It's got tier 85 stats. We're talking about tier 92 here. So we have the better stats with this.
With the Masterwork armor.
Correct.
So why wouldn't people get it? I'm confused.
Because it's really expensive to make. Because you need to first make the tier 90 Masterwork armor. Then you need to apply drops from Nex and the God Wars dungeon on it. Then you need to make it again into this trimmed masterwork.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can see you got to basically input a whole set of tier 80 power armor into it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And all of this other shit. Okay, I understand
so,
now.
So, yes, well, you're not going to see a reduction in charge while you're on a Slayer task. You're still going to need to make it to use it at the end of the day, because you need to combine it with the tier 80 Torva as well as the malevolent drops that make tier 92 power armor. So it is prohibitively expensive.
Okay. So you weren't just, you know, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Damn.
And, you know, I don't know what the armor value is of tier 92 power armor. I don't have that on hand here, but I think you can get pretty close to the defense side if you go with just tier 85 tank armor, right?
asking the wrong person.
I think so, but I don't know.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Okay. And see, let's see. So a Tetsu plate body has 477 armor value associated with it. Now, if we go for a malevolent, I think that's the one. Malevolent plate body, malevolent armor. So the malevolent that, and that has. Oh, it's weird. The wiki doesn't have the actual value associated with it.
What?
Yeah, they don't have a.
That's weird.
They don't have. Oh, sorry. Oh. It's here. Armor value 500. I was just looking in the wrong column. So, yeah, it's going to be better than Port's armor by a bit if you just go with the tier 90, but it'll be even more if you go with the tier 92. Now, I guess the question for us here is being not PVM types, Tannis, is do we invest all this to make this, even if it won't degrade on a Slayer task?
Well, I mean, I think there could be a couple reasons to make it. One, if you've always wanted to like make your armor, but you were never a person that could go farm drops like that, I've always, you know, wanted to do that, but never could actually make it happen. So it might be cool if you want to make your own stuff. The other reason I could see someone like us doing it is because if this armor really does end up being that expensive, then there may be a little bit of money in the process of making it that we can cash in on, which would be cool.
Okay. So,
yeah, because I would guess the street value may be high.
Yeah, and you're going to be able to purchase you're going to be able to purchase the intermediate components. You'll still need to make it yourself.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Or do we know if this thing's going to be tradable? That's one thing I'm not sure.
I mean, it's that
I thought it was.
Okay.
If you trim it, it's untradeable,
okay.
Right?
So
that like presupposes that
right.
It would be
okay.
First.
So I think then the upshot of this is that by making it not degrade for Slayer types, this has given us a reason to make this and use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want something at the high end of smithing that's going to be appealing to the entirety of the community and not just, you know, the 1% who are duoing Solak or Virago, right?
Right. Well, we finally got our overloads for smithing, right?
That was supposed to be the armor spikes.
Oh, we didn't get the armor spikes?
Yeah, we got the armor spikes.
Oh, okay.
That's the overload type item because those are not tradable.
Okay, well, I mean, apparently neither of us trimmed armor,
yeah.
But
It seems really nice.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I mean, I was going to make a set anyway just because I've always kind of wanted to. But like I said, I could never go down there and do like make a ascension bow or, you know, a scythe or, I mean, those are weapons, but you get the idea.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I think then that this is a good step forward for smithing, and I think that the combat types will hopefully be interested in this because it gives a source for Torva and whatnot and the other malevolent components, and the people who want to make this can look into doing that side of it as well if they want. But on the other hand, if they just want to purchase the Torva, they can do that as well and bring that in. So I think overall this is a pretty good design, and I think I'll commit to making one of these sets when the update drops in January.
Good.
Yeah.
So credit to Jack and team for putting this together. So let's see. 90 defense, tier 90 power armor, and then the trimmed masterwork armor, tier 92 power armor, requires 92 defense. Yeah. All right. I'm pleased with that. So, anything else on this? Any questions regarding the mining and smithing beta for our two guests or mining and smithing rework?
Do I have anything?
Yeah. Do you have any questions about it?
Not really. You seem to be happy with it. I feel like it's something that I'm going to have to sit down and read about, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you think they'll tweak it further?
I think we'll see maybe some numerical tweaks to it, but I think the general design of it will probably stay as is. Because this is supposed to launch the first week of January. And as we all know, we're kind of getting into crunch time if they're going to hit that deadline, right?
So, yeah, I tend to agree. If anything, I think it's going to get hit. I think they're going to hit those. What are the special crablets with the salt?
The golden Elia crablets at the Ark.
Yeah, and those are like majorly high XP. So I do look for those to be nerfed.
All right, but I should have a test on those then as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sounds good to me. You guys ready for questions?
Yeah.
All right. But before questions, it's traditional, of course, to thank the Patreon supporters for this podcast and everything that they do to make this indeed possible. And this week, we would love to thank Cody T, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for your wonderful support. And for anyone else listening, if you're wanting to see exactly what all this is about, you can head over to patreon.com/rsbnb. And what we do there is we offer three tiers of support to support RSBnb Update and RSBnb in general. And if you want to support, you can do that for as little as $1 a month. You get access to all of the past monthly bits that we've been doing. We just published a new one today on the unproportional influence of the community. Talking, of course, about the RuneScape subreddit, the official forums, and Twitter. That one was certainly very interesting to do, so would highly recommend everyone to go and have a listen to that. And if you're feeling a little bit more generous, for $3 a month, you can receive a special VIP rank on Discord, as well as a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month. And with this, you also get access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast. And at $5 a month, if you want to go that far, you get a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And what we're doing with this is, in addition to supporting RSBnb, we have the monthly bit, which is our bonus show. We're also working towards a feature called Inside RSBnb Update, which is basically like a get to know you with the RSBnb Update producers team and the co-hosts and whatnot. Have a look at how the podcast comes together and maybe a little bit of a sneak peek about where the hosts record RSBnb Update. Then something we sampled at the Double XP weekend a couple weeks back was the RSBnb Update Roundtable. And should we reach the gracious support of $50 a month from the listeners, on the first Saturday of each and every month, we'll do the RSBnb Update Roundtable, which is basically an open discussion for everyone about anything and everything RuneScape related. That was pretty fun, wasn't it, Tanis?
I hope we get to do those again, because it was cool.
Yeah. And at the end, if for some reason people are feeling stupidly generous and we reach $99 a month, there will be something called...
There's no such thing as stupidly generous when you're donating to the RSBnb Patreon account.
True that.
Nice plug, Shane.
Exactly. And with that, we'll have something called Movie Night in the RSBnb Discord. You join us for movie night once a month, and we'll run through our favorite movies, and there's a good chance there'll be some Star Trek included.
The first one we're watching is Mean Girls.
Shane's going to explain Star Trek to me. And
Karen, you can't just ask someone why they're white. It is my favorite movie.
Who picks the movie? Surely at $100 a month, someone gets to pick the movie.
Yeah, someone will get to pick the movie, and I think if we get there, we could probably...
Star Wars.
We could probably work, work Earth's Choice into there at some point.
Yeah, as the inaugural event. I heard Did you guys hear I heard
All right, well, if you're willing to come around for that, then we'll make that commitment.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right. And of course, all this and more can be found at patreon.com/rsbnb, including the monthly bit, which was published today, The Unproportional Influence of the Community, where, yes, we did it. We touched the third rail of RuneScape discussion, the RuneScape subreddit.
Oh! How you feel about that, Shane?
It came out really well.
Don't get him started.
It came out really well.
He asked me if I wanted to be on that one.
And you said?
And what was my response, Shane? Was that I wouldn't touch that with a 200-foot pole?
Yep, something like that. Well, we touched it, and we did it. So.
There's a show title. We touched it.
You know, touch is one of my favorite Unix commands, by the way.
Shane, what's wrong with you?
Shane loves creating files.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so moving on to questions now.
It is worth mentioning as well, by the way. I mean, so RSBNB is currently at $29 a month on
Patreon. We're one away.
Yeah, that means literally, if you have been thinking about subscribing, you literally only need to subscribe for $1 a month more. And Shane will do a bunch more things for you to get to that $30 a month tier.
You're a terrific salesman.
You're welcome.
All right, so this one is first from Tycho. Dear RSBNB, he's a frequent contributor and has been on the podcast before, so... Christmas is here once again, and the bells on the radio never stop, and the night is slowly vanishing.
Shane, you're reading a really long question when we have Brad here.
All right, Brad,
and
take
his
this
beautiful
away.
Voice.
Take it away. Take it away.
This was made for his beautiful voice. Sorry, Brad.
Oh, you want me to read it?
Please do.
All right. So this one is from Tycho. By the way, I have pre-read this. I have a lot of questions about this question. I have a lot of questions about the show in general. Dear RSBNB, Christmas is here once again. The bells on the radio never stop, and the night is slowly vanishing from all the decoration that is hung up far and wide. This sounds menacing all of a sudden. But as Christmas is celebrated differently around the world, I want to ask you the following. How do you picture Christmas? What do you do during the holidays? And lastly, how would you set the Christmas mood in your house? Personally, I just grab an axe and get the best tree I can find and carry it home. Some might prefer the car, but some things in this world are worth using a little muscle for. And when I was younger, I also used to set a bear trap below the chimney every year so I could just have him around all year long. But he got away every time, and now that I'm past 18, he just skips the house. Funny thing that it inspired me to a couple of journeys to the cold north, but I have yet to find his workshop in this dark land where snow and ice stretches as far as the eye can see. Anyways, looking forward to your answers, and if any of you want a Christmas card from Clan Quest, then just say the word. It's from Tycho, the festive elf of the Nordic lands.
Who the hell has a bear trap just laying around their house?
Tycho,
are bears a problem in Sweden?
Elf of the Nordic lands. Well, not with Tycho around, apparently. Well, I think there are, but I think there's the wilderness kind, too.
I mean, I don't think he's talking about bears, but...
Oh, those bears.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Of course Shane doesn't know.
What?
Are you familiar with the concept of Christmas, Shane?
Of course.
And chimneys.
Yeah.
And
Santa
radio.
Coming down the chimney?
Yeah. And are you familiar with the fact that Santa is not a bear?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Why would you need a bear trap? Of course. Well, you know, I think I'm best to start this one off because I of course live in a climate that is very attuned to winter and the like.
That is true. You are the most Nordic of any of us.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously for Christmas you need a good deal of snow, first of all. You know, we have had a couple of brown Christmases in the past, and it's just not the same without the snow. And
brown Christmas.
Yeah, people who don't have the snow.
I'm a brown.
Is that when your whole family gets food poisoning or something?
I think it sounds like Shane's worst nightmare to me.
Well, no, it's just when you don't have a sufficient amount of snow, and because it's the fall, everything is already brown and dead from the winter cold, hence the brown Christmas.
I thought that was from the oil.
No. Oh.
From the tar sands.
Contrary to popular belief, it doesn't seep up through the ground.
Oh. All right.
Except up north, but that's topic for
later. So it does.
It's what I'm places, hearing. In places, but anyways, during the holidays normally it's all about family, and I think that's the way it should be in that regard. And in particular, you know, when you're looking at it, you need to look at it in such a way that you're spending the time with the people that you want to spend the time with, and that it's not a stressful endeavor in itself. Because if it is, you basically put yourself out for an entire week, and that's not fun at all. So that's good. And You know, setting the Christmas mood, of course, comes up to, I think, obviously, the decorations, but more so on, you know, Christmas Day itself. Probably, I think, one of the things that most people can attest to, and that, you know, you guys have probably all had this at once upon a time in the past before, is the smell of cooking in your house, right? So there's that, too. And, you know, being, of course, the holiday season, the Christmas season, I also have to say that there's also all the fun charitable stuff that happens around, you know, donating toys and whatnot to the less fortunate and the like, or maybe if you're one who goes to church, helping out more at your local church, helping out the less fortunate there and the like with that too. So I think that is a number of ways that people do get involved with that, and I think that's all very well and good.
Very good.
Wow. I think you covered literally everything I was going to say.
See, Reed, he does have a heart.
His heart grew 3 sizes that day.
No, it's. I mean, it's just a very important time of year, and I think we all generally agree with the sentiment I made. So, I mean, unless you guys each have anything else to add on to it.
I just want to say, like, it's been a lot cooler now that I have now I've had my daughter for a while, but she's like 6, and that's just a really cool age for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, she still believes in Santa, and it's just so much funner than it used to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so much easier to get into it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about, you know, we've chatted about this before. Christmas in New Zealand. You don't have snow. What's that like? Tell the people.
That's right. I guess this is question. The easiest point of difference here. Yeah. I don't think I'm a very festive person in general, so I'm probably not a good representation of the population in New Zealand. But I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people here picture like beaches and barbecues and, you know, well, I mean, maybe you don't know, but people like sun and being outside, and it's always trash when it's raining. I don't know what else to say.
All right. And regardless of where you are, I'd imagine that family has a huge role in it too.
I'd say so. I mean, at least over here, you know, you're never that far away from family.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You got to pick your in the U.S. You have to pick your side for the warm Christmas, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
can't forget to do that. And you have to figure out which cup you're going to get outraged about this year. Can't forget that. No, American traditions.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Gotta be angry because we can't be happy. That'd be too easy.
Reed, do you have anything on that? Any way you specifically picture Christmas or what you do during the holidays that you'd like to share?
I really think you covered it.
Okay, good.
Almost strangely well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a feeling that we're very similar in that regard of what we feel about the holidays and the like. So,
Reed, do you dress Stella up in goofy like holiday antlers
no.
and stuff like that? No,
I do not dress Stella up. Full stop.
Do you dress any of them up?
No.
We have. We used to take like our little holiday picture with our dogs with, you know, antlers so that they look like the little Grinch dog.
No, I ain't.
But we didn't staple them though. So you did it. It's cool.
I don't think George would let you do that.
All George has is his red bandana.
That's good.
But I mean, I think like every golden retriever is obligated to wear a bandana.
Like, true story.
I think that's just how it is.
Alrighty, thank you, Tycho. That was a good question, and you know we're definitely getting into the mood of that. And one of my goals with the podcast for the month of December is to have someone on the show, a guest on the show, each and every week of the month until Clip Show, of course. So we'll see how that goes. We'll let Reed take this last read this last one rather.
All right, Hoods. Bits and Bitesers, this is Chodo once again, and probably for the first time asking questions twice in a row. I don't really have RS-related questions, but seeing as this is a milestone episode, I might as well dig into the history of this podcast. What do you think is the coolest thing about RSBNB Update? Which update episode has been your favorite to host? How long have you been around RSBNB Update? And he says that he cheated because those questions were stolen from when he interviewed Tannis. And then the last one is asking me why I'm still allowed to be here. and that is all. Much love to all and huge congratulations on the 700th episode. So
you forgot the unhoods.
Unhoods, yes.
Hi.
I have to ask, what is the meaning of hoods and unhoods?
It's an internal clan quest meme.
Not a name. Okay.
Didn't it, like, come from a typo
yes,
or something?
Yes, it did.
Meant to say hello and it corrected to that?
Yeah, something like that. Okay.
Shane, what do you think is the coolest thing about RSBNB Update?
I think the most interesting thing about it and the coolest thing about it is that we get our point across, and we bring that point forward, and we don't do it in an angry way. We're constructive yet critical. What an
not anymore. No.
Oh yeah, we are. Yeah, of course.
Oh, I just mean there was a time many years ago, before my time.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, of course, of course, of course.
We get our point across. We're direct. We say it like it is, but I'm not going to tell it.
Yeah. I think I know precisely where you're going with that one. And, you know, we'll leave it at that, won't we?
I'm so confused. I thought Brad was like the founding person or something like that.
No, Brad. Mm-hmm. Brad W. was not the founding co-host of RSBNB Update.
That was Pika69.
I'm not sure if you're getting me confused here as well, but
no, I'm not getting you confused with anyone.
Not you, it's, but
no, Shane. I must be. Yeah, I don't know.
I was the second Brad, to be clear.
Oh, there was two Brads. Oh, now my mind's just.
Oh, I didn't tell. I never told you that, Tannis?
No, I'm so confused.
I really hope you didn't think I was the first Brad.
Yeah, I'm very lost at this point. Damn it, Shane.
Brad here is Chief Snake. He was the second Brad.
Okay, Brad 2.
That's right, and I believe what the third co-host. I think
I don't remember actually, was I?
Yeah, you came in after Woodward left, right?
Yeah, I guess
okay,
I did.
Okay, so yeah, you were number three. You were number three. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lucky number three.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely one of the most interesting things about it. And, you know, we've over time, our interaction with the JMods and whatnot has increased. And, you know, they appreciate our feedback when we send it in particular regarding specific update points and whatnot. So I think that that's really good. And that's one of the things that I'm most proud of about what we do is that we're able to act as a conduit for the general player base towards Jagex. That's one of the things I really like about it. How about you guys?
I think the thing that I like is because I came in a little bit later. I mean, it might sound kind of cliche, but I really enjoy the people because I don't know another group that is such long-term players. But long-term players with like the right attitude and still somewhat open to change and not like, not crotchety and all that stuff, you know, that, and I think everybody seems to have a very high level of, just knowledge when it comes to all things computers. And so there's always someone I can ask a question to. I don't know.
That's probably something to do with us as well. Yeah. How about you, Reed?
So what do I think is the coolest thing? Well, it just brought a lot of people together. I mean, I think that's RS as a whole, but this show in particular, like, I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't know Brad, Tannis, anyone that we play with. Like, it
very
brings
true.
A lot of people together.
Very true.
I think that's
true.
The neatest thing
okay.
for me.
And that's the thing about RSBNB in general, too. So, all right. And you, Brad?
Yeah, I think I agree with Reed on that. Yeah, just in general, it brings people together. And like you were saying, going beyond just the show, but the forums as well, like, they're kind of all one thing. Like, you could say that the forums came first, but then you could also say that the forums are kind of built around the podcast and the Informer and the
everything
other
feeds off each other.
Exactly.
I never would have joined the forums if it weren't for the podcast, though. Like, that's
really?
How I found out.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
You found out through the skill signatures, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember your Sig of the Week?
Yep. Yep. That was a long time ago.
That was a fun little thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite episode to host? I have to answer this one right away, and this was when we talked about the exploding Samsung devices. Not just the phones, but the washing machines, too.
Huh?
I didn't even know about that one.
What?
Yeah. You remember when the Samsung Note 7 was exploding?
Yes.
Yeah.
We talked about that in tech news. Then a couple weeks later, we had a follow-up where Samsung washing machines were exploding because some device or piece of hardware inside them made it so that they would spin so fast that they would tear themselves apart. And one woman had shrapnel from her washing machine penetrate a wall and get lodged in her garage.
Yikes.
In her what?
In her garage.
Her garage.
Oh, okay.
Shane can't speak.
I thought he was being dirty or something. I wasn't sure what was going on there.
Shane, dirty, Tannis.
I know.
Come on,
I know, right?
Come
that was
on,
always
buddy.
A tricky word for us because we always used to have in my old flat we had Philips Hue lights throughout the house, so you'd have to turn them on and off by speaking to Alexa. But she never understood how New Zealanders pronounce the word garage, because we generally don't say garage, we say garage, and she'd be like,
ew.
I don't know what the sprint is that you're talking about. So we always
isolated.
We always sound so intense when we tell her to turn off the garage because we're putting so much emphasis on it, you know. And when we do it, people are just like, what are you doing?
Me, when you pronounce garage that way.
Well, at least I'm not calling it the roof.
Forced.
Ay. All right. Tannis, what was your favorite episode to host?
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, I've enjoyed every episode I've ever been on, really. but I hope this isn't different than what I told Chodo a month ago. if it is, just call me Trump. Anyway, the one that I love, but I love it because it was difficult, I think, was Menophos. I know, but it was a good episode, though. Like, it was painful, but it made me feel a kid.
What, did y'all just tear it apart?
It was
we basically, at that episode, and this was prior to anything released this year, so keep in mind this was in 2017, and we have effectively reset that clock with things like deep sea fishing and the clue spell rework and safe cracking. We said that prior to Menophos, and maybe Frith thrown in as an exception, the last innovative piece of content prior to Menophos was Dungeoneering when back in 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't know. I think it was a good episode. Other than that, I think the other favorite I have, I wasn't co-hosting, but I was a guest on the first game. Oh, help me, Shane.
Game Blast?
Game Blast, yes. Yes, the very first one. That was really cool, really special. And, yeah, really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. And the double XP weekend ones are always fun, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Reed, favorite episode to host? The last one you were on?
No. Actually. That's a really difficult question, because I've probably been on, 100 of them at this point?
Yep.
Christ. Yeah, because I'd be on probably once a month, and then I was there for a year. So that's about right.
Yeah, quests through, probably
exactly.
Most of 12, 13, yeah. 14, 15.
I mean, I think the most memorable one for me was the Birthright of the Dwarves one, where in the middle of explaining it, I just stopped. In, stunned silence and said, hold up, what the
f-? Well, to be fair, they did rework the ending of that quest after a while.
Oh, did they finally retcon it?
No, they just made it a lot more user-friendly.
Because the plot didn't make sense.
Yeah.
At all.
Actually, Colton sent in a correction the following week, correcting you on that. I don't remember what the answer was, but
you didn't tell me the.
I'm pretty sure I did.
It's been all this time,
but
through all this time, it was a really confusing episode for me.
Shane just wanted to you, I think, is
probably telling me years later.
No,
I remember that one.
Agonized over that. For all these years, Shane, you just now tell me.
So is Birthright of the Dwarves yours?
No. I don't know. That one's memorable. I know it's definitely not the clip show that I recorded, though. Because we recorded that at, what, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, because we were supposed to do it earlier in the evening, but there was a storm, and the next day was Christmas Eve. God. And we couldn't do
that. Yeah, so we had to record the clip show at 3 o'clock in the morning, my time. And, I was just not there. But it's okay, because I was really funny in the past, and that's what they were there for, so it worked. We did some specials. Didn't we do a Stowe special?
That was a fun one.
I liked that one. I liked all the not typical ones, because there's not really a single, I don't really think an update can necessarily make a show.
Nope.
It's the people on it.
Yep.
That's wholesome.
And normally it's, I know. Normally it's just two to three people, but when we have something different like this, I think those are my favorite episodes. So,
all right.
Or we get to talk about something like different, like when we do something with Stowe, because we talk about RS every week on this show. Like, but if you explore something new, there's just whole new doors to open, so more new stuff comes out.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing around the people. Like, I can't think of any particular episode that I remember as being my favorite, but I remember the ones that I really looked forward to hosting were the ones that were with really cool people. So the likes of like Mike and Tricky, King Collar, and PFK99s, and Reed, of course. But I'm just thinking like back to when I like was first doing shows, and this was like episodes, you know, between 100 and 200 sort of thing. And it was really early days, or at least early days for me. And yeah, those are the people on it. Sorry, you weren't there yet, Reed, but those were really fun.
I'm here now. It's fine.
That's right.
Hell yeah, brother. You made me remember something. I do think my proudest RSBNB update moment, though, was when I got Mike on the show. You remember that, Shane?
Yep, I do. Explain.
So, like, my one goal being co-host for a year was, I was like, all right, I'm going to get Mike on the show. So was it just you and me on that episode, or was someone else there?
I think Patrick was there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Patrick was there. And then...
King Collar, for anyone wondering.
Yeah, so... we get to tech news, and I stop everything, and I'm like, okay, guys, I have an idea. Let's get Mike in here and act like the show is over. And then...
and we were still using Skype back then.
Oh, is it all the way back then? Okay. Yeah. And then we get... and then we get Shane... Or, like, Patrick, or no, I brought up, like, a tech news topic because we were about to go into tech news. And I started talking about that when Mike came in. Mike, of course, knew within about 20 seconds what was really going on. But he played along and he joined us for the last bit of the show. So, I don't think he was too pleased with that one. But
I asked him after. He said it was fine.
Shane, has Mike ever told you when things weren't fine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Strong doubt.
And how long have you guys all been around? So, I mean, you guys know the answers to this one.
Christ, 12 years almost? Let's go
look.
Let's look
at the forums and have a look.
Christmas Day. So, fun fact about me, my join date, Christmas Day,
2006
at, what time, Shane?
8:10 in the morning, your time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the f*** I was doing, but Christmas Day, hey, Mike's online.
I don't remember my password.
Why is Mike on the forums?
I can help you with that after the fact. But your join time...
I got you, Brad.
...was April... Or sorry, no, October 25th, 2004.
Yeah.
And Tannis, you ready for yours?
I think it's like 5 years. Right?
December 2013, December 15th.
Okay.
So yeah, when I said legacy co-host, that's what I meant.
Oh, I can't change his password, can I?
No, you don't have admin on the forums.
Damn it.
But
all right, I'll just give him a warning for forgetting his password.
All right, so
I accept my fate.
That's how long these guys have all been around.
Made this forum skin.
Yes, you did.
You last changed it on 22nd of April, 2017.
That wasn't me.
The first two octets are the same. The user IP.
Oh, wait. What are you talking about?
You changed your password back then.
My password? Yeah. Oh. Did I?
Yeah, apparently.
Did I save it? Am I doing...
I'll sort that out for you, but...
okay. No, yeah, no. I do have a randomly generated password now. I must have done that at some point.
All right.
It's not safe.
So...
You're welcome.
And we know why...
I've exceeded the maximum allowed number of logins since.
Okay,
all right.
I'll fix that for you after. But
you can see your warning.
Why is Earth still around? Well, you know.
Why am I still around?
How come you're still allowed to be here?
Well, if I disappeared, I did this on purpose. I made it so that if I disappeared, lots of questions would be asked. So...
All right.
New private message has arrived. Board warning issue. But I can't see it because I can't log in.
All right, I'm fixing that. Anyways, all right. So he's still allowed around because when it comes down
Shane
to it,
doesn't
want
to go to jail for a murder.
I would never do such a thing. But,
okay.
You know, in reality, there was nothing wrong with the RuneFest episode. So I you know. I think the claims that there were issues with that were heavily exaggerated. So,
I would never spread false rumors.
All right. We good for that question, everyone?
Yep.
I think so.
All right. Well, then, we're going to move on to tech news. But first, if you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. Or what you can do is you can leave us a DM or at mention on Twitter @RSBNB. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So moving on to tech news this week. Loot boxes are about to be investigated in the United States by the Federal Trade Commission.
Shane.
Yes.
Did you see what's in the
yes,
show notes
I did.
Now?
Anyways.
Will you read it out for us?
Later. I want to talk about loot boxes right now.
Oh.
Because it's been a year since the Star Wars Battlefront 2 saga regarding that. And people started to ask questions, and we talked about this last week in regards to gambling and microtransactions when it comes to loot boxes. The Australian Senate recommended a comprehensive review of the practices that go on in Australia regarding this. And the United States Federal Trade Commission is up next on this regarding this. And, you know, they're saying that it's going to obviously become an issue, and they are realizing how large it's going to be because these boxes are going to come to represent a $50 billion industry by the year 2022. So... I think we're finally hitting critical mass if this is being investigated in the United States, right?
Correct.
No, nothing is going to happen in the U.S. They will be allowed to do whatever they want to do.
Why do you say that?
Because no corporation is ever held accountable for anything like that. They will not say it's gambling. There's no way. They can just buy a couple politicians for it. There's no way.
The FTC is independent, though. It's not like an actual government. I think it's a coin toss, really, what they'll do.
Yeah,
there's certainly a lot of outrage over it, and I think that... being behind it makes the chances a lot greater. I think something will happen.
I mean, I hope so, but after seeing AgitPi and the FCC, I have no hope whatsoever that... I mean, the man came from Verizon. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe
the
FTC is better, but I doubt it.
Have the FTC in their pocket.
But
though.
Also, it's worth noting that the initial request was made by Senator Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire, who is also a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they're screwed.
So, and, you know, I think
she's been, like, really pounding him over this over the past year.
Yeah, and
I looked her up. Very good.
Also, with it going to be talked about in the EU as well, I think that also adds a bit of inertia to the issue as well. And, you know, regardless of whether or not the FTC report actually ends up getting implemented, because the way I understand it, if the FTC issues a report, it's up to Congress to decide if they follow it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the question is that, you know, is – I think if you frame it in the sense of gambling, they will want to look at it. But if you frame it in the sense of gaming, they probably won't, because we know the average age of Congress.
Older than dirt.
There you go. That's one way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
So – and we talked about the scientific study last week regarding this and in terms of how it festers with problem gamblers. And if you look at it from that perspective as well, that's definitely something that they should look into. So I hope that they will look into this. And I'm not normally one to speak out for – government regulation on things, but when it comes to these boxes and the fact these game companies are making huge amounts of profit over it and what they can actually do to the end game economy, I think Reed and I have a generally good idea of how pervasive these boxes can be, that there needs to be some kind of push behind them, right?
Oh, I would love to see action taken. I just don't have very much hope that it'll happen here. Like, I would love for it to not be that way, but I mean, we just don't have a good track record of stopping things like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, the example I'm
there.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, given Star Trek Online and it has these boxes in it and the entire game's economy is driven by that, and you know, that might not necessarily be a bad thing from the in-game perspective, but a game's economy is driven by it, and this is funneling countless amounts of money into the game developers' hands, and there are people who buy the boxes and whatnot who probably do have gambling issues. So
I really think Stowe's is like the least offensive mm-hmm. of any game that I'm aware of.
It's interesting, right? Because it's like a great model for software developers to use, or game developers, you know, because they... It means that they get their game out there up front really easily, you know, generally free, I guess, in a lot of cases. And then that means that it gets into everybody's hands. And then from there, they just get incremental income. And for that's, I mean, that's also great for not only them, but for the gamers who get stuff for free up front and can pay for it incrementally as they go.
And, you know, some of the biggest games out there do this on a purely cosmetic base, like Fortnite, Rocket League, Overwatch, and they bring in tons, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like if you're just really committed to the game, then it makes a lot of sense. But at the same time,
like, to spend money on it, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
see where this gets into. Yeah.
That was my justification for buying the Stowe Lifetime membership. It was $200, which is obviously not a small amount of money, and there wasn't any one thing in it that was like, I need this. It was just me wanting to support the game, because it's a free-to-play game.
Yeah, and that's really easy to do when you're already invested into the game, right?
Yeah, and like, I've played that game more than... It's probably in the top five games that I've played the most ever.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So maybe even top three.
Yeah, and I'll just say that the caveat with this is that while we're talking pro-regulation on this, we need to remember that it can't be so heavy-handed, and it could be coming from the EU's side, is that it can't ultimately stifle this as a way for developers to make money. Because where would Rocket League be without that, right? Where would Epic and Fortnite be without that?
Well, yeah. They would be right where they were, only without the gambling.
I think as Fortnite goes, we got to take the good with the bad here.
Well, I mean, it just means that they have to make something for you to pay for it instead of gambling on a bunch of crap. I mean, like, you should, if you're going to buy a certain skin, there should be a price associated with that skin, and you should have the chance to buy it or not. Like, you shouldn't buy the chance to have it.
Yeah, and I think that would be would be the optimal way to go on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely ways to do it that can, improve the situation.
And, I mean, Jagex tried this with Rune Pass earlier this year, but the community screamed bloody murder over it, and it could have been a revolutionary thing. Tanis, were you on support of Rune Pass or not?
Well, it was different. It wasn't a loot box.
Right, and I'm saying that would be an option for the non-gambling route.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I think the community kind of jumped the gun with that one a little bit. But, I mean, I understand it. I mean, of course we're going to be a little gun-shy with all the, treasure hunter stuff that we deal with anyway. So, I mean, I forgive us for it, but I think it might have been it could have been more constructive in the end.
Definitely.
And it probably could have replaced some of the things that we've just gotten used to.
And that's what we did with the podcast that week. We were very constructive about it. And unfortunately, the rest of the community was not. So.
No, but I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, it's an understandable reaction, though. You know, I mean, it's always been a sore spot. And you got to be careful with stuff like that.
Indeed. All right. Next piece of tech news is regarding Fallout 76. Sorry, I skipped one. But we'll talk about Fallout 76 right now. Fallout 76 folks were talked about and promised a fancy bag, but instead they got...
This was after paying $200 for the Legendary Edition or... whatever it is. And hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is after paying like $200 for this, and they're promised a nice bag, like least you can do for paying $200. And then it wasn't even what they promised. And then as compensation, they offered people $5 worth of credit of in-game credit, which you can't even buy like anything significant with. And by accepting that legally, you're like, hey, accept this as compensation, so now you can't sue us. Bye.
And the general gist of the tweet that they sent out: we are sorry.
Mm-hmm. Don't be sorry, do better, basically.
Yeah.
And that's on top of a week of, like, they also promised to people would have a functioning game. And, well, that didn't happen. And there would be lots of content. And, well, not so much. And I feel really sorry for Fallout fans.
I really thought that the Master Chief Collection was going to be the worst, AAA flop of the decade. I would have bet everything on it, but it has not been. This has been so much worse.
Are you going to assign that to Fallout 76?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah. And
I think that's fair.
Here's the best part. No Man's Sky is no longer the worst game launch of the
I've been seeing a lot of positive stuff about that, and I was like, what the hell? Did I just imagine all of the outrage?
I know. Yeah. So we'll find out if Fallout 76, follows a similar trajectory, and they fixed the damn thing. Because it's bad. I mean, if you're wondering, I watched like the Angry Joe review, and I was like, wow, he's really angry. Like, he's genuinely pissed.
Yeah, I mean, several review sites have been like, we can't even continue playing this long enough to give it a suitable review. I don't remember. I think that was Giant Bomb.
Wow.
That's unfortunate given the lineage of the Fallout series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. All right. Next up, Nintendo is ending the creators program and has posted new guidelines for content creators. And, you know, this is something we've talked about on the podcast before, that if you basically create any Nintendo kind of video, whether it's a Let's Play or a content review of it and post it on YouTube, you would have been liable to have your video removed from YouTube because basically Nintendo didn't want anyone posting anything from their games on YouTube unless it was something officially sanctioned. And what they said in the release with this is that we're ending the Nintendo Creators Program to make it easier for content creators to make and monetize video that contain Nintendo game content. We'll no longer ask for creators to submit their videos to the Nintendo Creators Program, and creators can continue to show their passion for Nintendo by following Nintendo's guidelines located at this URL. That's included, and this will come to a close at the end of December 2018. And this is perfect and really big for YouTubers and whatnot in general, because people are now going to be able to monetize their videos and channels using monetization methods that are existing elsewhere rather than what Nintendo had previously specified in the creators program.
Well, and it's good for Nintendo. They finally figured out that it's free advertising. Like, as long as you're making good games, the more people that see your games, the better.
Yep. Well,
they weren't losing out on anything. And I mean, I don't know if they were afraid of being associated with like a, you know, someone that might be toxic that makes videos and stuff, but so I don't think you have that as much in that community. I don't know. Mm. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm not really on the Nintendo side all that much. But
So they can just post videos now.
They're not on YouTube at the end of December.
Well, good.
Yeah. And they say, we encourage you to create videos that include your creative input and commentary. Videos and images that contain mere copies of Nintendo game content without creative input or commentary are not permitted. You may, however, post gameplay videos and screenshots using Nintendo system features such as the capture button on the Nintendo Switch without any input or commentary. So basically, if it comes from the Switch, you're okay.
Cool.
But don't post a playthrough of the newest Nintendo game without commentary and expect that to be fine. So there's still caveats.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and you know, yeah. Everything can get through under this one now with a bit of commentary, so that's good. That's good. And, you know, we just have to look at how big some of the online communities are surrounding this, and this answers the question in itself. And this is long, long overdue. So.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You even have a friend of the show that's a big Nintendo guy, right? With the Zant?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Breath of the Wild playthroughs, I believe he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Alrighty. And our last piece of tech news is that Google is bringing Google Fi to more people, and they're also opening it up to iOS users. This is the expansion of Project Fi that launched in 2015 that basically made cellular access in the United States cheap and accessible. So. What also comes with this is the fact that if you get on one of these Project Fi plans, you can get international roaming for a mere fraction of what you could get as one of the big, huge carriers in the United States. And unless you have a very good cell phone deal in the United States right now, Fi is very popular and very good if you're in an area that supports it and a phone that is able to support it as well. But you know, I think this is good for Google to be branching out into this direction on this. So, unfortunately, Tanis and Earth here are the only ones in the U.S. So,
and I'm
on fantastic plans. So,
yeah, I'm still like grandfather Sprint, unlimited.
Oh, so yeah. Okay. So,
I was saying when we were talking about this in the pre-show that for New Zealanders, like if I could, well, if I was a US citizen, I guess I could get a Google Fi, get on Google Fi and roam it to New Zealand and be constantly roaming and be still paying this like the same amount that I would be paying here in New Zealand for the same thing.
That's crazy.
So even though it would be roaming, it would just be
pretty good.
And I could just go anywhere I wanted. And yeah. Sadly, I am not a US citizen.
Tannis, your phone would be compatible with Fi.
Reason. Oh, it would be.
It would be compatible with Fi because it's an iPhone 6, right?
I got an 8.
Oh, you got an 8. Yeah, that would be compatible, especially if it was on Sprint. So the question only then would come down to cost. They say you might have some issues with sending text messages to non-iPhones, though.
Okay.
But iMessage would continue to work fine. And visual voicemail wouldn't work as well if you use that feature. But here in Canada, we don't even get visual voicemail with iPhones. So
I don't do anything visual.
Which one is visual voicemail?
That's the one that basically, rather than having to dial into a voicemail inbox, you have a list of voicemails inside the phone app on the iOS.
Oh, okay. I don't even think I've set up voicemail on my phone, so.
Yeah.
Does anyone call anyone these days?
I do if I really want to annoy someone and they aren't showing up. Like,
yeah, that's one thing for it. And you know,
persistent.
I'd like to think
I'm not a monster.
I'd like to think I taught some of that persistence.
You know, I realized that the other day, and it's a little horrifying, honestly.
But you know, if you look at the coverage maps of this as well, you can basically see that you're going to be pretty much guaranteed to get at least 3G in anywhere in the US, unless you're in the middle of, you know, like Wyoming or Montana.
Well, no one lives in most of those places anyway. Like,
that's right.
The places on the map where there's not a thing.
Not
there's no one there.
Yeah. So if you look at compatible with Fi, you can basically see this thing in the entire map that, oh, it's practically the entire U.S. It's a little bit of Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, and Iowa, and, you know, the central mountainous areas in California, Nevada, and Washington that you can't. But the rest is going to be pretty good 3G or is somewhat equivalent. So I think this is something that everybody in the U.S. should look at if you're having some kind of painful cell phone plan. And I know how predatory those carriers are in the U.S.
Yeah.
But.
All right. Well, that wraps up tech news for the week. We're going to move on to some other things right now, including the November skill of the month, which, Tannis, you're just pushing right through this one, aren't you?
Yep. Sure am.
We currently got Flash in first place with 69.2 million cooking XP gained. Tannis, you're in second with 67.2.
Nice.
And Sorensen is in third with 10.9.
Sorry. What?
Yes. Say it again.
67.2 million cooking XP for Tannis.
What the is wrong with you?
Well, here's the best part. Like, so
you're not in first.
Well, I mean, Flash has put up a very good fight, but I think he's only got about 800K and then he's done.
Why is that? What's stopping him from going further?
200 mil.
He started on 129. Oh, I thought
yeah,
that was his current
valiant speed. Valiant effort, man.
Oh, get rigged. Okay.
Yeah, so
I mean, I guess he still wins out of this?
No.
I think they both lose, honestly.
No,
yeah.
It's not over technically till tomorrow, I believe.
You could go for a tie.
No,
don't be that guy. Don't do that.
No, Shane, I'm a winner, not a tire. Like, I'm not a...
He's not on my car.
Yeah. Like, no. I just want a tie. That's that shit no one ever said.
Okay, sorry I mentioned it.
One time.
And for anyone wanting to deplete their bank account further, the December skill of the month is construction.
And I will not be doing that. I will probably never do another one of these. Actually, Shane, when is the last time a co-host won a skill of the month?
Shane,
you don't count.
Well, I heard there's a discrepancy on that one anyway, right? But
never.
It's a little asterisk.
Never if I don't count.
It's when never?
What happened when we were farming?
What was that? What was that about farming?
Wait, what just happened? What happened when we did farming? Who won?
I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, rigged.
I thought Earth said he won.
December 2010. Won. That was not rigged. Yeah, I won fair and square.
That was me. I won that one.
Oh my gosh. We had 28 people sign up for that.
Holy shit.
I won.
Everyone wanted to take their chance and try and beat me.
Makes sense, but
I won.
Wow, so if it happened, it only happened once before, Shane?
Yep, and that was me.
I kind of feel special.
I was doing so well for 10 days, and then I think I ran out of money or something.
I won.
Anyway, that's a long time ago.
Oh, Reventon 42, remember that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, Brian, he was on here too.
That's why I won, Shane.
Right. All right. Oh, yeah, that was a day. Alrighty, well, with that being said, I'll just also take a moment to congratulate Wolfie for winning our Achievement Bonanza Fortnite competition, seeing who could get the most rune score or achievements done in 14 days of playing RuneScape, and that was Wolfie with 850 rune score gained. Second place was Sorensen with 555, and third was Parnassius with 515.
Perfect. That's great.
Nicely done.
So will we be doing another one of those, Shane?
Yes, with caveats. I need to need to have a few things fixed first on the back end to make sure that we don't have any bumps in the road this time.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to talk about some achievements of the week now. We certainly don't have as many as last week. We got a collection of them, and we're just going to run through them right now. So first up is Phantom with 99 Invention on November 28th. Letterman got 99 Firemaking on the 28th of November as well. And we got Phantom again with 99 Mining on November 27th.
And then Phantom got 99 Fishing on November 27th, 99 Woodcutting on November 27th. And then we have Dawn, who got 99 Invention on November 27th.
And after that... Oh, I did not prepare for this. De Peltnir got 99 mining on November 26th. Crushed it. Torrid got 99 agility on November 26th. And Dantanian got 120 dungeoneering on November the 25th.
Nicely done. Nice.
Then we have CompSci with 120 magic on November 23rd. And Derp with 99 defense on November
23rd. Oh, CompOut, say the full name.
Derp alt flux. I don't know. It's some like Nordish shit or
it's
something.
French.
Is it French?
Derp all new.
Even worse.
Huh. Okay. Well, leave it to a Canadian to be able to pronounce the French correctly. Here we go.
Shane of all people.
Alrighty. Pick of the week. We have a certainly unorthodox pick of the week this week. So what do you got for us, Brad?
What the fuck does that mean? Not you, I just realized this other comment in the show notes. My pick this week is that you should go electric. By which I mean you should get rid of your petrol vehicle or gas or whatever, your diesel, I don't know what you do over there, and go electric.
All over here, boy.
I thought it was poor people's tears. That's not it.
I hear it's not nearly as economical to do this over in the US, but over here, gas is really expensive. I think it's the highest price. Yeah, screw you, yeah. I think we paid
for $1.98 yesterday.
Nice. Per gallon. Whereas yours per is what? Gallon. Probably north of what? 2 liters there? $2 per liter, probably plus?
Yeah, we are.
So that you pay like $8
a
gallon.
Nearly $2.50 per liter.
You pay like $8 a gallon then.
Yeah, it's not good. highest price in the OECD or something, I think. But Yeah, I mean, we're very far away from you. So, but because of that, it makes a lot more sense economically to go electric. So it used to cost me $120 or higher than that if petrol got expensive to fill up my car. Admittedly, I had a pretty a car that was not great on fuel. And now it costs me $5 to fill up my electric vehicle, my Nissan Leaf. Which is, it's good. Life is good. I don't have to go to a gas station ever again. It's lovely. Do it. Also, my car makes no noise.
Yeah, I've heard you guys have to be really careful with that because people can get hit easy with those.
Yeah, I want to put some baseball cards on your spokes or something, man.
it actually emits a noise to alert people that you're approaching because otherwise they just won't hear it. Like the engine doesn't make any sound. So, but it's really nice. I mean, if you're if you need to be convinced, I mean, it's a shame that you can't do this because I live so far away. But I've been offering everybody around me, basically, if you want to be convinced of why you should get an electric vehicle, just come for a drive in one, because it is like driving a spaceship. It's like an upgrade from a hard drive to a solid state drive. No joke. Is how I put it to tech people.
Why don't you guys just import more oil from Canada to get that gas price down?
Because we aren't.
Shane, you looked at a map.
They're islands. They probably would like to not drown at some point. And
the other thing with New Zealand is that we do have, I think, about like 80% of our electricity is generated from renewable resources, which is very good, I think, compared to the rest of the world. So
they're part of the solution.
We are
hippies.
I want to go.
Just
to
thought
New
I'd
Zealand.
Put that out there for the rest of the world. Pure game.
Yeah, it's certainly different. I will give you guys that. I will certainly give you that it's certainly different. All right.
Yeah. For the record, I did this because my old car got written off. That was the only reason I bought a new one, but I have no regrets going electric. So.
Got written off? What?
Yeah.
What?
Someone hit me.
I see. So insurance money.
Yes.
Ah.
No one was hurt, though.
Convenient time. That's right.
Is it Rick's fault?
It was not.
Alrighty, so what have we been doing, RS or otherwise? Let's start with you, Reed.
Putting me on the spot. Not much. Just class. That's really all I got going on.
Alright, Tannis, RS, aside from cooking, anything else?
Aside from cooking? I got 67 mil in cooking, right, in a month. No. The only thing I've got to do was I got to that was last week. I was going to say I got to spend one day in the mining and smithing. But I will get to do that tomorrow probably, because I should be done with this by the time I go to bed, I hope. If not, it'll be the morning.
All right. And any banana pizzas in there?
No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, true.
All right. And for you, Brad, inform the listeners about something you've been up to, obviously, since you've last been here.
Literally. What have I been doing? I don't know. It's a lot's happened for me in the past year. I've been working. I went back to work at the company that I used to work for probably before the last time I was on the show, whole thing. My company had a restructure, which worked out well for me. So I'm now I'm managing a team of developers, software developers at my company, which is good fun. That's been exciting. And
hell yeah, brother.
Now I'm doing a bunch of things. Actually, my career is going in the weirdest places. I've been seconded into the architecture team for a bit. I've been But at the same time, I've also been sucked into this like Visual Basic project where they're migrating a 20-year-old Visual Basic 6 application into visualbasic.net because it doesn't run 16-bit stuff anymore. So it's a whole thing. And this morning I got roped into trying to fix this Excel spread, this business critical Excel spreadsheet, which kept crashing when they opened it. So some fun things.
I mean, we could go on about that for a while, but
honestly, the Visual Basic thing has been like definitely a highlight of my year.
All right,
but
Jesus, Visual Basic was a highlight of your year.
It's something a bit different, you know.
Visual Basic,
yeah.
Highlight. Damn.
And on that note, I'll jump in and give everyone
It's not PHP.
I'll give everyone an update this week on RS progress. As mentioned last week, I was working toward the Master Farmer title. So yesterday from the Player Owned Farm, I got the Master Farmer title. And now if you see me in game, it says Shane12088, the Master Farmer. So, and when you do that, it says Granny P has retired. You now have full ownership of the farm.
Oh, wow.
So, your cape has that trim on it, though, right?
Yeah, and particles, because it's a 120 cape.
It's not nice and green.
No, but my title is. And with that, with that being said, I think that was the RS big thing of the week for me. So, with that being said, I think we can close off episode 700 here and say thank you to both Earth and Brad for joining Tanis and myself on this milestone episode of RSBNB Update.
Yee! Happy 700, everyone!
And with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode. If you guys want to chat with us in the meantime, we're in Friends Chat Bits Byte. You can join our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. Lots of fun stuff in there. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at rsbnb. See you next week, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.